Hi, my name is Stephen Tobe. I'm a lead program manager on the parallel computing platform team here at Microsoft. And today we're going to walk through a variety of sample applications, demos, that you yourself can go and download from the Code Gallery site, code.msdn.microsoft.com/parx2samples. And so everything I'm walking through here today, you can go and try in the comfort of your own home. We'll be walking through a variety of applications that focus on parallel link, or P-Link, which is a declarative model for doing data-focused operations in parallel, all of which is built into the .NET Framework 4. The first application I want to demonstrate is called Baby Names. The idea here is that we've grabbed a lot of information from the Social Security Online Baby Name database, where the Social Security Administration tracks popular baby names over time so that expecting parents can determine good names for their children. We downloaded a lot of this information, although for demo purposes, I'm going to be using some randomized information that I've generated. The idea here is that I then want to use LINQ, Language Integrated Query, to process through all of that data, looking for babies that match a particular name or baby names that match a particular name with popularity in a particular state between particular years. I'm going to sort it by year, and then I'm going to select out that information to display a histogram in the UI that represents the popularity of that name over time. So you can see here, I have a very simplistic Windows Presentation Foundation interface, WPF. I've got two options here, a sequential version and a parallel version. I'll be searching for the popularity of Stephen in New Hampshire. And when I run the LINQ version and bring up the task manager, you can see that on this quad-core box, I'm using only about a quarter of the machine's resources. Because this is a sequential query, it's running on only one core. You can see it completed in approximately 4.2 seconds. Now, if I run the parallel version, you can see it spiked up to 100% CPU utilization, taking advantage of all four cores, for a speed up of 3.3x. Now, historically, this kind of parallel programming required writing a lot of code. But if you take a look back at our code sample, you can see that the parallel version of this query was created by adding as parallel onto this data source. That was the only change that was necessary to go from this 1x to 3.3x speed up. And if I look at the IntelliSense information for as parallel, you can see that it states that this enables parallelization of a query. This as parallel is the heart of parallel link. So one more time, I'll just run it again to show that there wasn't anything funky happening. Yeah. Close the original. Again, I can run the link version, and we'll see it'll take approximately 4 seconds. And then I'll run the parallel version. And again, we got about a 3.2x speed up that time. So a very nice speed up for very little code. You'll notice in the UI here, there's this track bar that allows me to control the number of processors that are being used. Right now, that track bar isn't really hooked up to anything, but I can hook it up in the code by making a very simple change. Another method that parallel link exposes is called with degree of parallelism. And as you can see from the IntelliSense comment, with degree of parallelism, when tacked on after as parallel, allows you as the developer to control how much parallelism is actually utilized by the query. You can see I'm passing in the number of procs, and the number of procs here is really just the value that I've got from that slider control from the WPF interface. So now when I run this demo again, when I run the link version, again, this will take approximately 4 seconds. And again, if I bring up Task Manager, we can see that it'll only be using one core. If I now run parallel link, again, we can see that it'll spike up to 100% for about a 3.2x speed up. You'll notice this is now set at 4 cores. I can bring this down to, say, 2 cores. Run it again. Now you'll notice that we're only using 50% of the available CPU. And we didn't get nearly the same speed up that we got before. Now we got about half the speed up that we had previously. There are a lot of additional operators that you can use with parallel link. With degree of parallelism is just one of them. But this demo provides a nice overview of the functionality, which you can play with on your own. Now, what you just saw with the baby names demo was an example of a relatively simple query processing a relatively simple data source. We were using a where to do a filter, a select to do a projection, and an order by to do a sort. However, LINQ includes something on the order of 50 operators and allows you to do some very complex processing. That complex processing can actually be significantly intensive when it comes to computation. As an example of that, here I have a ray tracer. This ray tracer was actually written by Luke Coben, who's a program manager now on the F# team. And it's a ray tracer implemented entirely in LINQ. What a ray tracer is a method for rendering an image. And the idea is you have some representation of a virtual world. Here I've got a plane and a couple of spheres sitting on top of it. We're going to fire rays of light, in effect, from our eye, from our vantage point, at every pixel in the image, at every location. And every time we do, we track how that light bounced around. So if it hits the sphere, we calculate how that light would reflect or refract, and we follow one or more rays of light from that location. And then if they hit objects, we follow them, and so forth, up to some number of bounces. Every time it bounces, we capture a color based on light sources and the material used for the sphere and so forth in order to determine what color we should actually label that individual pixel. Now, I can fire each of these rays of light at each of these pixels, and I can do so independently. And as a result, ray tracing is a very highly parallelizable operation, often called embarrassingly parallel, or delightfully parallel, or conveniently parallel, because we can do everything at once, and there are no dependencies between each of the pixels being rendered. So here I have this ray tracer that Luke wrote. Now, it is a fairly complicated link query. You can see just how much code it is here. Not something that you would necessarily want to do in practice, but it does represent the complexity that can show up in a link query. And for my purposes, it can demonstrate just how powerful parallel link can be. So I can take this query, all of this, this query here, and copy it down to my parallel implementation, where I'll simply paste it and change the enumerable that we saw earlier to a parallel enumerable. Parallel enumerable is the heart of parallel link. Just as link has enumerable, or rather linked objects has enumerable, parallel link has parallel enumerable. You'll see the other change I've made is by supporting cancellation, which is new support that we've added in .NET 4. Now, by changing enumerable to parallel enumerable, I've now told the system to switch over to the parallel implementation to use parallel link. So if I run the application again, you can see it took 9.3 seconds to run sequentially. Let me open up Task Manager so you can see how my cores are being utilized. When I render this in parallel, you'll see multiple threads partaking in the rendering of the image. However, you don't see this spike up to 100% CPU utilization, which we would hope for. And in fact, if you look at the time here, you see that it only completed about 2x faster than the sequential version. Now, if we want to understand the reason for this, we can actually take advantage of a new tool that's been built into Visual Studio 2010, into the 2010 profiler, in fact, that provides some concurrency analysis. So I'll say Launch Performance Wizard. This brings up the typical Performance Wizard dialog box, except for Visual Studio 2010, you'll notice a new concurrency radio button here. And in particular, I want to take advantage of the functionality to visualize the behavior of a multi-threaded application. I'll have it target my project and start this executing. First, I'll render the sequential version just to get a benchmark. And then I'll render the parallel version. Now, what was happening as my application was running is that the profiler asked the operating system to enable what are called ETW, or event tracing for Windows events. This allowed the operating system to spew out huge amounts of information about what the kernel was doing during the lifetime in the execution of my application, including things like context switches, when threads were blocking and what they were blocking on, if files were being read and written and what was being read and written, and so forth. The profiler is now taking all of that data and is churning through it, is analyzing call stacks, is analyzing these events, and is generating a variety of views to help me understand the behavior of my application. You'll also see that it's downloading symbols from the Microsoft Public Symbol Server in order to get detailed analysis of what was actually happening in the kernel and in the CLR, so you can understand all the call stacks up through not just your code, but into the runtime itself. I now have three views. I'm only going to take advantage of two of them. And in fact, one of them will provide the information that I need. And that's the CPU utilization view. You can see here, I've got my sequential run, and sure enough, I was only taking advantage of a single core. But if I zoom back out, I'll see over here I have my parallel run, and sure enough, I'm not actually picking all the CPUs all the time. I started out doing so, almost getting up to four CPUs, and where I wasn't, it was because of other processes on my machine, such as Camtasia, which is being used to do the screen capture, taking up cycles. However, over time, you can see this stair step, which is a telltale fashion of what's called a load imbalance. Here, over time, fewer and fewer cores were actually needed. To understand why, I can switch over to my threads view, I can sort by execution, zoom in on just the area represented by my query, which I can tell by this blue bar, which is calling out exactly where my parallel query fell. And I can see that, sure enough, I've got four threads, these four threads here. However, they're not all busy all the time. In fact, while one of them executed for almost the entire length of the query, another one ran for a very short period and then blocked. This is because the way that Parallel Link was told to do the partitioning of its input data set, it didn't evenly distribute the work amongst all the threads. Thus, one thread finished earlier and one thread finished later. If I run the application again, we can get a better sense for why this is. If you think about how I described ray tracing, I described it as firing off rays and watching those rays bounce around. If there's nothing for those rays to bounce off of, there's going to be very little work to do. If there's lots of things for those rays to bounce off of, there's going to be a lot of work to do. Now, at the top of the image, there is very little work to do because rays were fired off basically into an abyss, into the void. Whereas towards the bottom here, a ray will be fired and it'll bounce off the sphere and then the floor and then a sphere and this and the floor. And you can see that from these reflections that have formed here. Now, again, if we watch how my application divided up the work, by specifying parallel enumerable.range, Parallel Link took advantage of range partitioning, which is very efficient from the perspective of minimizing the overhead of communicating between threads, because Parallel Link just has to assign one region, in this case the first quarter, to one thread, another region to another thread, a third region to another thread, and a fourth region to another thread. So the threads don't have to communicate in order to figure out what to do next. However, in doing so, one thread got assigned very little work, and that was the thread that completed early on. Another thread got assigned a whole lot of work, and that was the thread that took forever to run. So by looking at the profiler, I'm able to understand this behavior just by visualizing how the execution laid out. Now I can go back to my code and fix it. Now by default, parallel enumerable.range does provide range partitioning, but Parallel Link provides several mechanisms for partitioning, and in this case, another approach called chunk partitioning will actually be more efficient. To take advantage of chunk partitioning, I can remove the parallel from enumerable, so go back to using link here, and then add the typical as parallel, which as we saw in the baby names demo, enables parallelization of a query. Now this is a subtle change, but it's important. Plink, when it enables parallelization of this query, now sees, rather than a range where it knows the lower and the upper bound, now it sees an actual IEnumerable, in this case an IEnumerable of integer. It doesn't know where that enumerable is coming from. It doesn't know that it's actually a range. And so it's going to apply chunk partitioning, which has all of the threads reach in, grab some work, go off and do it. Come back, reach in, grab some work, go off and do it. Now the benefit of this is that the threads are then able to very efficiently load balance between themselves. If one thread happens to get significantly more work, it'll take longer, and the other threads will pick up the slack by going back and picking out the elements from that data source. So now if we run it again, using this new change, I'll run the sequential version again, just to get a level set here. So rendering this image took about 4.32 seconds. And now when I run the parallel version, you'll notice a different pattern to how the threads are partitioning. Rather than one chunk, the first quarter being assigned to one thread and the second quarter being assigned to another thread and so forth, now they're going to fight for lines pulling from the top. You can actually see that as they render down, and now it took 1.5 seconds for about a 3.0 or so speed up over the original sequential version. We might be able to visualize that a little bit better by making the image slightly larger. So now there's a larger image to process, which means more work. So the sequential version finished in approximately 11.27 seconds. Now the parallel version will run, and again you can see the threads pulling from the top, pulling off chunks as they go, and instead of 11.27, it finished in about 3.7, for again about a 3x speedup. So one of the great things you can do with Visual Studio 2010 is write your code and apply the Visual Studio Profiler to understand where it may be lacking, even when using the existing models, and then use the existing models and the support they provide for customization to tweak the behavior of your application to get as much performance out of it as you possibly can. As our final Parallel Link demo, we're going to have a little bit of fun. Now, you've already saw baby names, where we were doing a rather simplistic query over a lot of data, doing a filter and a projection and an ordering sort. You've seen Parallel Link processing, doing a ray tracing, which is a very computationally intensive operation with a rather large query that you would probably never write. Now we're going to apply a Parallel Link to a fun problem, which I've deemed Shakespearean monkeys. And now many of you may have heard of the infinite monkey theorem. The infinite monkey theorem basically says if you put enough monkeys into a room, give each of them a typewriter, and give them enough time, eventually one of them will type out the complete works of William Shakespeare. Or rather, there's a non-negligible chance that given enough time in the universe, one of them will do so. I'm changing the problem up slightly. Instead, we're going to put a bunch of monkeys into the room and we're going to shut the door. And over time, these monkeys are going to breed. Now, when these monkeys are born, they know how to type one and only one sentence, initially probably a random sequence of characters. And anytime you put them in front of a keyboard, in front of a typewriter, they're always going to type out that same sequence. It also happens that this sequence is an inheritable genetic trait, such that when two monkeys breed, their offspring knows how to type some combination of their parents' string, potentially with some random mutations brought in by the environment. For those of you with computer science backgrounds, you may understand that this problem sounds a lot like a genetic algorithm, and that's exactly what it is. So over time, these monkeys are going to breed, but they're going to select their mates based on similar things that we find in the real world, where we select our mates based on some criteria that really attracts us. And in this case, the monkeys look for other monkeys that are better and better at speaking, or rather typing out, Shakespeare. In this case, a line from Hamlet. So as monkeys, those monkeys that are good at typing out Hamlet or better than others are going to be able to breed more, and those that aren't are going to go off into the corner and sulk. So what I have here is a link query, and this link query is basically the heart and soul of this operation. I've got a method called create next generation. This is part of the Shakespearean Monkeys project, which again is part of the parallel programming for .NET 4 samples that you can find on Code Gallery. And this method is called every time we need a new generation of monkeys. So many, many times a second, or as fast as these monkeys are breeding, we're going to call this with the current generation, and we're going to get out the generation of babies. Those babies are going to grow up. We're going to call this method again. They're going to breed again. We're going to get out new monkeys. So we're going to run this over and over and over, and we're going to watch how well our monkeys are doing in terms of getting closer and closer to speaking Shakespeare. Darwinian evolution at its finest. So here I have a link version of this query, where for a certain number of pairs, I'm going to pull off two parents, and I'm finding random but high-quality parents. These are parents that are better than average at speaking Shakespeare. I'm going to create a child from them, where we're going to basically take their two strings, merge them together in some random fashion, and then potentially also introduce some random mutations and get out the results. When I run this, we can see we've got our Shakespearean monkey over here on the left. Over here on the right, we've got the quote from Shakespeare that the monkeys are trying to speak. And we're going to put 2,000 monkeys into the room and start them going. And over here on the left-hand side, you see the output from the best monkey that's been found thus far. And this is after 140, 187, 211 generations, and so forth. You can see we're processing about 23 generations per second. And over time, the monkeys are getting slightly better and better at being able to speak Shakespeare. Unfortunately, after 500 generations and 22 seconds, they're still not very close. So we're going to stop this. We're going to go back to our code. If we look at our code, I have a run parallel Boolean here, which is controlled by that checkbox you might have seen in the UI. And the only change we're going to make is when that checkbox is set, we're going to use parallel enumerable instead of enumerable. I could have also said enumerable dot range dot as parallel, and it would have had the same benefit. So now when I run this, I'm going to click the parallel button, and instead of getting 23 generations per second, now you can see I'm getting almost 3x, or a little bit over 3x the number of generations per second, and much faster, where we've already passed 700 generations, almost 800 generations, and our best monkey on the left here is very, very quickly approaching William Shakespeare. So parallel link is not only good for processing queries, pulling data back from loading data into memory and processing it in memory. It's not only good for doing computationally intensive ray tracing, but it's also good for fun problems like Shakespearean monkeys.